Well, amen. What a joy to look out and welcome all of you to the house of the Lord this morning. Are you glad to be here? Say amen. I think about what the psalm writer said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And it's so good to see people here this morning. And we are delighted that you are here. Corona crew, thank you so very much for my Bible. I'm going to preach out of it this morning. And so I'm going to invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. I want to begin reading in just a moment with one verse of Scripture, verse 25. I can't say enough about all of the work that has taken place to get us ready for this day. And Brian was bragging on me. I want to brag on Brian and all the work that he has been doing with his crew of getting things prepared for today. I also want to say a special word of appreciation to our greeters. Jerry and Shirley Hawkins are back there. Thank you for your leadership and for our ushers and what a fantastic job they are doing. And I can't say enough about this Corona crew. And when we refer to the Corona crew, we're talking about all of your technical people under the leadership of Brother Mark Abbott, and they have just worked tirelessly so that we could live stream, which we are live streaming right now. In fact, people are watching us. I like to pull it up on Facebook where I can see who is coming on and watching and comments that are being made. And so at the end of the service, we'll stop live streaming, and then I'm going to share with you prayer concerns and requests. One of the things that I've heard during all of this time away is that I miss being updated on people and how things are going in our church family. You know, we are a family, and when one hurts, we all hurt, and when one rejoices, we all rejoice. And so I'm going to be sharing some of that with you this morning. I know of 9 different churches off the top of my head that are resuming worship today. I prayed for them this morning in my prayer time. Many actually started last Sunday because of Mother's Day, and they thought that would be a significant day to start. And I've been in communication with a number of those individuals. Eric Geiger is a Lifeway consultant and writes a lot of articles with our Southern Baptist Convention. And he made this statement in an article this week. He said, you know, we all agreed when we should close the doors of the church because of the coronavirus, COVID-19, but we're not all going to agree how to open back up. And certainly that is a respectful personal decision, as Brian mentioned earlier. And our deacons under the leadership of Abby Prince over there, what a great team of men. And meeting with them and our staff, we felt that the time was right for us. And as you can see, we've taken a lot of precautions to make certain that you're safe and you're well this morning and we're protected. I tell you, if you can social distance at Walmart and Lowe's, you can social distance at church. And by the way, everybody's in Lowe's, amen? If you've been to Lowe's, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read one verse of Scripture this morning, verse 25. Usually, this sermon is preached in the context of marriage, but I want to take a different approach to it today. There, Paul says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm speaking on this subject this morning, why I love. Why I love the church. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you that we have finally made it back to Sweetwater. And God, for all of these precious individuals who are here today, I pray a special blessing upon them. Thank you for all of the work and the planning and all of the details that have been worked out so that we could be here this morning. I pray for those who are watching by live stream as well, that God, you would bless them. And Father, as we share in this message, may you speak to each and every heart, and we make this prayer in the name of Jesus and for his sake, and all God's people said, amen. During this COVID-19 pandemic, We've certainly been separated, we've been isolated, we have been quarantined, but one of the things that has continued is ministry. People are still getting sick and having to go to the hospitals. People are still, unfortunately, passing away. This past week, I had a funeral over in Augusta that I had to conduct. And during this time, one of our members here at Sweetwater, Miss Catherine Hetrick, passed away. Many of you will remember Miss Catherine. And during her funeral, I talked about how much she loved the church. Because for many of our shut-ins, for many of our senior saints that are widow ladies and widowers, this is the only socialization and family that many of them have. And when I was preaching her funeral, I talked about how that she loved her church. She certainly loved her Sunday school class, Miss Nancy Britt, her teacher, and all of the ladies in that class. She loved her pastor. She loved our worship services. And during her funeral, I read this poem entitled, "I Love My Church," and I think it applies to all of us. Listen to these words. "I love my church, the house of God, where I am sure to meet my Savior and my friends who come and worship at His feet. I love my church where I recall and where I truly trace that many precious promises of God's redeeming grace. I love the workers of my church who cheer and strengthen me, contending for the one true faith in all of her ministries. I love her tuneful heritage, her hymns of praise and prayer, her sacred strains that lift my soul above the world of care. I love my church with all my heart and look forward to death when I depart and arrive in heaven with all of its beauty and worship Jesus Christ for all of eternity." This morning we come to this place reminded of just how special and how precious this place is to all of us. Amen. We have really missed being together. And this morning we're back together and we are reminded of just how important the church is in our lives as believers. Now when we talk about the church, the church is manifested in two ways. First of all, there is the universal church. That's Christians everywhere, of all time who have ever lived and those who are living now. In places like Malaysia, our nation of the week that we'll be praying for, and in other parts of our world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 declares, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." So we know of the universal church. It is that church that Jesus Christ is going to come in the rapture and take us out of this old world. And by the way, this is another sermon for another time, but we're seeing a lot of prophetic things coming about during this COVID-19 pandemic, and I'm going to be saying more about that in the weeks to come. But not only is there the universal church, there is the local church. When you open up your Bible, you find letters like Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and Thessalonians, and those were written to local bodies of believers, just like the Sweetwater Baptist Church. And this morning we are reminded that we are the local assembly, the local body of Christ right here in the Sweetwater community. So why do I love my church? Why do you love your church? Well, let me give you four very brief reasons why I love the church. Number one, I love the church because of its founder. Because of its founder. You know, many institutions have what they call a Founders Day. And they celebrate their rich heritage and they talk about those who were instrumental in the founding of that institution. I know the Moody Bible Institute, which by the way, I met Tony Evans there, the one that made all of the notes of this Bible that the Corona crew gave to me, but the Moody Bible Institute has a Founders Week, and they celebrate it for an entire week and have different speakers and singers and lecturers to come in and to share. And this morning, when we think about our church and every church, we are reminded that the founder is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus said, "I will build my church." Now, this is just a personal thing with me, and I believe Dr. Ben and Haley, it's so good to see you, Dr. B, would agree with me. I've never liked a ministry that is named after a person. It ought to be named after our Lord, or it ought to be named in a different regards than to bring a highlight to an individual. And so when we think about the church, this isn't my church, it's not your church, it's where we attend, but this is God's church. And we love our church because of its founder. We think about his position, that he is the head of the church. We think about his protection. He says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're reminded that God is protecting his church. Now, the coronavirus is not going to stop the church. Persecution is not going to stop the church. The church continues to march forward. I love its founder because of his promise. The promise that he's coming back for the church. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for me one day. And I love the church's founder because of the praise that goes to him. Psalm 34, verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." So I love my church because of its founder. But there's a second thing. I love my church because of its family. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're a family. We are the family of Sweetwater. And you know, we've been talking about in this COVID-19 that we're at a social distance and to be apart. But it's been hard for us as a family, has it not? It's been really hard for your pastor because I'm a handshaker and a hugger. And in fact, I was going back in one of my annuals to try to find it. One year, I was voted the most friendly person in school. There were only two in our graduating class. But anyway, I was voted the most friendly of our institution, of my school. And it's been hard for me not to hug people and shake their hands. And it's almost been a difficult thing for all of us because we're family. And we are made to love each other and to be together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God." Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 reminds us, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So we are a family, we are a household of faith this morning, and now we have gathered together as the family of God. We're reminded of the purity of the church, that we have been washed and we have been forgiven. We're reminded of the charity in the church, that we love one another. We may not always agree. We may have differences of opinion, but just like in your family, it is love that holds you together. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." But I'm also reminded of the unity of the church. That yes, we are one because we are marching under the banner of the cross in the unity of the gospel. And so we cooperate. We are a team working together. And I think about what the psalm writer said in Psalm 133, verse 1. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." A little while ago, Brother Mark Abbott led us in that great old chorus that Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears. and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I am a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel the sod, for I am part of the family of God. So I love my church because of its founder. I love the church because of its family, but I love the church because of its function. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very important function. And the function of the church, I believe, is best illustrated in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, we have a little snapshot here, and Luke says this about the church. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. He uses two words there. He uses the word edified and the word multiplied. Now, he's referring to evangelism in multiplication of reaching out, sharing the gospel. And then he's talking about discipleship when he uses the word edification. So the church's function is twofold, evangelism and edification. That's the Great Commission. And Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Now, when all of this started, there was a term that came up called essential businesses. And is something essential or not? I know right now, churches in California are fighting a battle with their governor concerning the matter of allowing them to reopen and the matter of essential businesses. And they are saying we are essential. Ladies and gentlemen, we really are. Because I'm going to tell you, this has been hard on a lot of people. And when I say hard, it's been hard on all of us because we've had to make adjustments. But I'm talking about some people are depressed right now. And some people are having some emotional issues because of this. And they think they have the coronavirus. And you know, this thing hit right here in Augusta around allergy time. And so people were coughing and sneezing, and everybody thought they had the coronavirus. And, you know, do I have corona? Do I have COVID-19? And you know, I'm going to preach a sermon in weeks to come. I got so many sermons out of this, but I'm going to preach a sermon weeks to come. We don't know what to believe anymore, do we? And you know, what happened to the flu and what happened to all the other issues that people were having before, but now everybody's got COVID-19. And so there's a lot of questions about this entire matter. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know this morning that we need each other. I need you. And you need the church and you need each other. Now it's going to be a while before we can get back in Sunday school. Because of the 6-foot distance rule, we know that. And we're going to continue to live stream because many of our precious church members, they fall into that high-risk category, and they can't be with us today, and that is perfectly fine. And we understand that. Some are not quite comfortable in coming back. And one of the things that has happened in all of this, we've learned to think outside of the box, and now we're live streaming, and the gospel's getting out there through Facebook and technology and internet and all of the rest. So I love the church because of its family. There's one final reason I love the church, not only because of its founder, and not only because of its function, and not only because of its of the family and the function and the founder, but I love the church because of its future. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the church has a bright future. I want to read again what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Paul, writing in this very book in Ephesians 3, verse 21, said this, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. If you're looking for a good investment, it's the church. The Word of God is going to stand forever, and the church of Jesus Christ is going to stand forever as well. And I love the church's future because, ladies and gentlemen, it is a glorious, it is a bright future. And one of the things that we're going to, where there will be no social distancing, is called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. We've all been invited, all God's children. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 19, verse 9, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. God wants everyone to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the focus is on the bride, the church of Christ, and the groom, which is Jesus himself. Revelation 22, verse 17 puts it this way, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There's a wedding going to happen in my house. I'd better be careful here. We're live streaming. But in my house, we're getting ready for a wedding in October with my daughter. And just pray for me, will you? Pray for your pastor and Miss Bobby back there running the computer. I better not go too far down this road. But anyway, we're getting ready for a wedding. And they'll be sending out invitations. And we want all of our Sweetwater family here for the celebration when she gets married. But praise God, there's going to be a far greater wedding, and it's called the wedding, the bride of Christ, the wedding between Jesus and his church, and you're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb if you know him as your Savior. And maybe you're out there and you don't know him. Maybe you're watching by live stream and you don't know what it means to be a Christian. Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing is not what church you're going to be a member of, whether it's Sweetwater or some other church, but the most important decision is to be a part of the family of God. And that comes by faith of accepting Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And if you don't know what that means, I want to encourage you to call us here at Sweetwater. And one of your ministerial staff would be honored to talk with you about that and to pray with you so that you can be certain that you're on your way to heaven. This morning, I think about that old song, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. So I love my church because of its founder. I love the church because of its family. God bless you, Sweetwater. I love the church because of its function. And I love the church because of its future. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer. Sweetwater, in these days of this COVID-19, we're having to do things a little bit differently, and one of those is our invitational time. And so what I want you to do is just make right where you're at an altar before God. Think about your relationship with Christ, to thank him that you have been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. To make certain this morning you are a child of God and that he lives in your heart and in your life as Savior and Lord. Maybe you're here today and you just want to say thank you for the church. Thank you for my church, for the members of the church. Just give a voice of gratitude, an expression of your heart, of all that God has been doing here at Sweetwater. Maybe you're here and or watching by live stream and you've got a burden on your heart, a need in your life, and why don't you just make right where you're at an altar before God and give that to Him. I don't know what God has said to you to do this morning, but I know He's spoken to all of us because we're all just grateful to be back in the house of the Lord. So I'm going to give us about 30 seconds of silence. Just make that an altar before God between you and the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. What a privilege to be in your house. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for these, your people who are here. And Lord God, I pray your blessings upon them. And thank you for the Sweetwater Baptist Church. God, I just pray that you'll continue to help us to march forward. And these have been challenging days. And we know this is not the first time that our church has been through this. And Lord, reading those minutes from 1918 when the church had to close for 3 months. Thank you, God, that those believers persevered. They hung in there. They were faithful. So, God, thank you for the faithfulness of the people, and we make this prayer in the name of Jesus.